Let's go to Romans 4 and we will begin. Well, I'm just going to let these revelations speak to themselves because I know that I'm not wise enough to understand these things or come up with them myself, but let's thank God for the mysteries he's given us. Amen. Let's thank God for the mysteries he's given us. It's going to set us free. I'll say this. We're working way too hard at this. Let me say that. That where we're going to go, we can't get there. It don't matter how much faith you have. You can be Abraham. You're going to find out he couldn't get there either. Without any more said, I welcome you, great, precious Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, to be with us today. As you're opening the realm of the crown and how it will work among us and how we will enter into full creative demonstration, financial harvest, miracle signs, wonders, the full and complete restoration to what man had from the beginning. Amen. Okay, so let's start with Romans 4. It's very important that you read from the King James today, because there's a huge issue here with interpretation. And if you don't get the interpretation right, you won't understand what God did. Amen? And you won't understand what he's about to do for us. Or I'll say what he's already done. So Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee, not make, not going to make, but made, M-A-D-E, made. Say made, finished, did it. A father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. This is the it scripture of all faith right here. And this was taken directly from Genesis 17. The Lord began to bring me into this. He started opening this thing Chuck spoke of, it. I'm not going to be able to speak of today, about John 4. And he's already shifted the way we pray. It's already released. It's already releasing. And it's going to move now at a phenomenal pace. This operation I'm about to show you, that the Lord Jesus himself fully operated almost every day of his life. And it will be the operation of the last day house of God that he's building. This operation will come full in, as we'll come fully into it. Let's say that. You're going to see us move into the realm of promises virtually overnight. So we're going to go back to Genesis 17. And we're going to look at what he was saying and what he said. Now, Paul marked this, and when he marked it, there's no scholar that disagrees that he was speaking as a finished position, that I made thee. Say, I made thee. I'm not going to make thee. Because the whole covenant of promise in Genesis 17 was, according to the way people interpreted that chapter, was is a covenant of promises that were going to happen. That did not happen, but are going to happen. But I'm going to show you today that it actually did happen. And I'm going to show you how it happened. And I'm going to show you where Abraham was in all of these places. Now, Genesis 17, God started with Abraham, called him out in Genesis 12. He started talking to him, giving him promises. Genesis 12, Genesis 13. And Genesis 14 was where he went to war. Genesis 15, God, he's trying to, at this point, trying to make an heir in Genesis 15. And he's like, how about Eleazar? We've talked about this a lot. And God said, no, it'll come from your own. He said, look at the stars of the heaven. And then he goes out and takes him out into the land. Now, this is really important to understand this, because this is a different covenant we're about to talk about than this one in 15. And he takes him out into the land. He says, this is all yours. And he goes, how will I know this is my land? He goes, oh, I'm going to make a covenant with you today. And that's when he cut in half the pieces and God came down and walked in the midst of the covenant. All of that covenant was the covenant for the land of Israel. That's why it will always be Israel. And the Lord will reign there for 1,000 years in millennial reign. That's always been Israel. It's always going to be Israel's. God made a covenant and it cannot be undone. That covenant of the land was intact, but that's not the covenant we're talking about today. There's another covenant that took place in Genesis 17, and it was a covenant that God confirmed, finished, and completed in 17. It's just you can't really see what he did until today. Amen? He sets a covenant, and then what happens? Abraham's in his journey right now. Next thing that happens in Genesis 16, he gives birth to Ishmael. So he's 86. He's still not ready, but he's carrying the promises. God's with him. While he's making every mistake under the book, say God's with him. God actually pronounces him righteous, and he obtained a righteousness in John chapter 15. He said, look at the stars. These will be your descendants. And it said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans referred to that righteousness, and it said that when he believed God, he referred and said something to this nature, saying, according to that seed be, that you might become the father of many nations. He hadn't fully sealed his faith yet. He wasn't ready. He was in a God of hope. And Paul marked that as a position of hope. But he wasn't fully in yet. He was still struggling like you and I do. Now, he gets into Genesis 17. He does the Ishmael thing. And God doesn't appear to him for 13 years. Now he's 99. Sarah's 90 and God comes back to him. And this is now where we're going to begin. We're going to describe what happened with him, because what happened to him is so monumental. It caused you and I to be able to come into the kingdom, but it also caused him to give the birth of what God had called him to do. And I'm going to say this to you. It was impossible for him to do this. Even at 99, he was nowhere near ready to do what God called him to do. Now, I know you hear all the verses of Abraham and against hope, believe in hope, staggered not the promise of God, strong in faith, giving glory to God. You hear all these verses, and Paul marked all that out, that he did achieve that faith, but he didn't achieve it on his own. He didn't get there on his own. And we're not going to get where we need to be on our own. There's something that happened to him in this chapter that caused him. Now, I want to mark a few things of where he was when he came out of this encounter with the Father. He was encountered with the Father. The Father came down and appeared to him. I think in verse 22, it said the Father then went back up into the heavens. So in Genesis 17, God came down and brought himself down and stood in front of Abraham. It wasn't the Lord, this was Father. And he was about to make a covenant with him. And that's where we're going to pick this up. Now, it's very important to understand scripture of what he's saying here, because some of your Bibles are going to get it wrong. But there is some translations that got it right. Amen. And you'll see that as we progress in here and see what happened to him, because what happened to him is going to happen to us. Amen. God is going to fast forward us. Amen. So Genesis 17, it's important to know where Abraham's faith was in the natural. Let's just see where he is in the natural. If you look, you'll see verse 17 and 18. Father's still with him, by the way, but I need to explain something about this encounter with the Father. This didn't come down and his Father just spoke 17 verses to him and lifted. This thing was going on for quite some time. Abraham went on a journey with God, and a very big journey. We don't know all of where he went, but we understand a few things that we'll say today. This wasn't just like he spoke this and lifted. This was at the end of this encounter. And then God throws this at him and said, hey, and by the way, this heir that I'm talking about is coming through Sarah. And he literally fell on the ground. He'd already fallen on the ground, by the way. He fell on his face in verse 3. God's talking to him. Somewhere between the time that he fell on his face and verse 3, he stood back up. He walked with God somewhere. He went somewhere huge, deep, wide, big. Amen. And somewhere he got back up, because he fell back down. And this time he fell back down. Let me just paint this picture a little bit for you, and you can decide whether Abraham at this point was in the mighty man of faith, against hope, believe hope, stagger not promise of God. Let's look at that. It goes to Romans account, because God is differentiating what real faith is and what faith is not. And you and I have probably participated in both realms. We're going to get into the right one now. Amen. So look at verse 17. It says, Abraham fell, say fell, upon his face and laughed. I've heard some people say, oh, he was laughing because of the victory. Well, let's see about that. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him 100 years old? And shall Sarah have a child at 90 years old? And Abraham said, oh God, oh, that Ishmael would live forever. Does that sound like a man right there that was full of faith? Staggering not the promises of God. Yet Paul specifically said that he obtained that faith. And he obtained it in this chapter. And my question to God all of these years was, how did he do this? Because he's 99, he's still struggling with the promises. We're 35 years into this and we're still, I'm not going to say struggling anymore, carrying the promises. I need what happened to him to happen to me. Amen. I just need to know what happened to him. How did he get there? Because he came out of his vision, he wasn't there. And God said, oh, but he was. He was there. How do you know that? Go back to Romans 4. What's it say? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Say, before him whom he believed. He believed God. Amen. All his circumstances caught up with him. All that you saw him roll around and Sarah, she was laughing in the next chapter too. Can I have pleasure at my Lord, 90 years old, laughing? God watched it. He goes, oh, you did laugh. I heard you. So we'll just name your son Laughter. They both laughed. These are the fathers of faith, laughing at the promise of God. Not laughing like in joy, laughing at total disbelief. I'm saying this to you to let you know this is the state he was in after 24 years of carrying this promise. Mighty Abraham, mighty Sarah, neither one of them were in mighty faith. Because that's not where faith that comes from God originates. That's our problem. We're trying to get all that where we are. God's going to make a very clear distinction what faith is and what faith is not. Amen. He got there, and you and I are going to get there too. Might get there by the end of the service. Amen. All right. So ready to take a little journey today? Oh, I pray you hear this today. So let's look at verse 1 of Genesis. Let's see if we're in the right place. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, right? Look at verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called, neither shall name be called Abram, but the name shall be called Abraham. And the father of many nations I have made thee. Are we in the right place? Because I am the Almighty God. He appears to him, presence in the earth, by the way. That's what we want, right? God in the earth manifesting his glory. And he says, walk with me and be thou perfect. And I will make thee a covenant. Today, I'm making a covenant between me and thee. And he's going to add in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Because Galatians says that this seed whom the promise was made was Christ, singular, right? So the first thing God had to do, and this is what Paul was making a point in Romans 4. It's not our point today so much, but you need to understand why he was doing this. The first covenant, he goes, I'm going to make a covenant with me and you today and the seed in you. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make you a father of many nations. If he did not do that, you could forget about entering in as a Gentile. That covenant was not just for the Jews. He said it's got to be a covenant for many nations because the seed whom these real promises are made must incorporate all nations. Say all nations. So I must make the covenant with you and the seed after you to be a father of many nations. It cannot incorporate just one nation because I'm going to include all nations before this is over. Every one of them. That was the first covenant he makes. And that is what caused us to be incorporated in, because the seed was already pre-programmed to receive all nations. God set it into the hard drive of the human race. Programmed, wrote a program, wrote his script, and shoved it into the computer, the matrix of the human race, and said, it's going to be for all nations. And he says, I'll make my covenant between me and you. And he goes, when he was done, he had already made his covenant. But if you read these scriptures, it sounds like, I will make, I will do. But then something happened. And it happened in verse 5, because he says, I will make. But then something happened, and some of your Bibles will get this wrong, but Paul straightened it out. And look at verse 5, because this is huge. He says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be what? Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. If your Bible says, I will make thee, it's wrong. By the time verse 5 comes along, God's not making anything. He's already made it. He done made it. He'd already cut the covenant. He already passed him through the covenant. He already did and finished, fulfilled, complete, done. Amen. Let's go home. He said, it's done. He goes, I'm not going to make it. So Paul, he wrote this, and all the scholars agree. This is past tense. That's why he said in Romans 4, it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Made, not going to make, made. Made, say M-A-D-E. Not make. Make is something that constitutes I still have to do it. Made is saying I've done it. And if he's done it, he's not going to do it. And so this whole covenant sounds like it's something he's going to do, a covenant of promise. It has to wait. But then how could Abraham believe if God is speaking something about him that he's not going to fulfill in his lifetime? He's going to get one son in his lifetime. The son of promise, I mean. God's saying nations. Then he talks about kings. Everything God is saying, I made you a father of many nations. And then Romans said, before him whom he believed that day. Doesn't matter what he did when it came out, he believed. I'll show you what happened here in a minute. He believed that day. How did he believe something he never came to? He never arrived. He couldn't arrive. You have to understand something. There was no possible way Abraham could have faith for what God was asking him to have faith for. I'm asking you to have faith to be a father of many nations. I'm asking you to understand I'm bringing a seed out of your loins. How do I have faith for something that can't even happen in my lifetime? It's not going to happen anytime soon. And yet he believed. That doesn't mean he said yes. He believed. There's two things that happened. He believed, and he come back and showed you where he was when God encountered him. So, as God honed me in on this, because I started seeing this operation in the Lord, I'm about to tell you about. And he said, wait, slow down. God has to slow me down right now because I am ready to roar. Praise God. And he said, focus back into 17. I focused in there, and he speaks to me. He says this to me. He says, you're not going to find it in all the translations. He says this to me. Look for the literal translation. Say, look for the literal. When I do that, I have to go out of Blue Letter Bible and I have to go into Bible Hub. Bible Hub is an internet Bible and it has like 50 different translations. So I'm going down through all these translations. I'm finding, oh, there's literal. Found two literal translations. Those translations were identical. And you know what they are? They're literal. It's what it literally says. But people that are trying to interpret this say, this really doesn't make sense. I don't think he meant to say made. I think he meant to say make, that I'm going to do this, not done it. I don't understand the fact that you're saying it's done, but I'm going to do this. God did. He doubled this thing for me to know that was truth. He gave me two of them, not one of them. And they both said the same thing because they're literal. It's huge. So let's look at what the literal says. Because he's saying, he appears to him, and he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He appears to him, and here's what happens. He gets to Abraham. Abraham's 99 years old. He says, Abraham, it's a good thing that I have arrived today, because today we're going to get this job done. This is basically what God was doing. Today we're going to finish this, because you're not going to get there any time in your lifetime the way you're going. Everyone say, that's good news. He goes, but I'm coming to help you out. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you into the God kind of faith, because you can't get there by yourself. And so when God appeared to him, he stood in front of him and he manifested his glory. And he said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. That sounds like walk before me and be thou perfect in your lifetime. That's what not what God was saying. That wasn't what was happening. He was saying, walk before my face today, Abraham. I am here to move you into the kind of faith necessary to cut a covenant with you and your seed today. And to do that, you're going to have to get out of where you are and you're going to have to get up into me. So today, you and I are going to traverse, and we're going to go seriously traverse today. I'm going to put you in front of my face today. That's what walk means. I'm going to put you in front of my face, and you're going to walk with me today. And when you're done, you'll be perfect. I will have perfected your faith. I would have perfected the covenant, and I would have perfected you. And then you can go back to whatever you were doing before. Because what you were doing before makes no difference. Because that's not what I'm looking for down there. All this stuff we're doing in the charismaniac world is not what God's looking for. All the shoutings, wranglings, that's not what God's looking for. You can't get there without me. I am the Father, the Almighty God, and I'm going to walk you down. I'm going to walk you into your promised land. I'm going to walk you into the glory, because I am the glory. I am him that was. I am him that is. I am him that coming today. I'm coming to perfect you. Time's up, Abraham. You're 99. Time to get on with a promise. I don't care where God meets you. It doesn't matter what kind of state your faith is in. When he gets done with you, you'll catch up fast. Because he's not dealing with you where you are. He's dealing with you where he is. Walk, traverse, walk it out. Stand in my face, Abraham. We're going on a journey. I'm about to walk you down the timeline of human history. But it won't be history. It's history now, but it's going to be future for you. But it's just me. It is. It is existence. It is the I am. You're going to walk in the midst of the I am today. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to cut a covenant along the way with a seed in your loins. And when we're done, we're done. When it's finished, it's finished. When it's complete, I will have changed your name today. Well, why don't he do that with me? Glad you asked that. Because he did. Catching up. See, Tina, that word? She starts like, God, go down in front of us. I'm like, yes, he has. Then Carlos was saying, Kevin said, Jesus told him, I'm going to let you catch me. My people are going to catch me. Boy, you better run fast if you're going to catch God. You better get on with it. You're not going to be able to run in the natural to catch God. You're going to have to step in to his frequency. He just put Abraham up in his frequency. He starts this. He starts talking to him in the middle of his presence. He invites him in. We know a little bit about the glory around here. We've been talking a little bit about the glory. When God starts to invite you in the glory, you move. It's a natural response to being in the Father. You start moving. You may not be moving here yet. All of this will follow, but you move because God's moving you. Because that's the way He works. He doesn't bring it to where you are. He brings you to where it is. And you've got to get to where it is. But it's not in the earth. It's in Him. And you've got to get to where it is in Him. And when you get to where it is in Him, everything will follow. Jesus said it like, I will that you be with me where I am. You might behold my Father. As He begins this, chapter 2, He starts saying, I will make my covenant with you today. Listen, Abraham, it's between me and you. But I'm going to add something along the way. I'm going to add your seed. When we start this journey today, right now, it's between me and you. He cut the covenant that day. He did it. And He said, I'll multiply the exceedingly. He's still an I will now. Abraham fell on his face. He goes up into God. Now everything that transpires, you just need to know something. It wasn't transpiring in the now anymore. Everything God was saying, every time He spoke, Abraham was leaping generationally, walking every step they were taking. They were walking through whole generational eons of time. Thousands of years they were walking through. Every word that God spoke, He walked him up. It's our history. It was His future. He walked him in. Listen, when God speaks from the realm of I am, it might be your future, but God, it's not your future. It is. And when He says it from there, it's done. You can't stop it. It can't be stopped. He went from I will to I have. If Paul wouldn't have put that in there, I have made. That is huge. I like what the Amplified says in verse 4 because they're getting started here. From between verse 4 and 5, I don't know how much natural time went by, but them two walked out. They walked pretty far up. Probably walked up into our day. So Amplified says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, Abraham. And as a result, you shall be a father of many nations. You will be. By the time we're done today, you will be a father of many nations. So He's telling him where we're going. It's all completing right now today. I'm going to cut the covenant with you today. I want to take you into the covenant today. The covenant's going to be cut by your seed. But I'm going to walk you up. Now the time verse 5 comes. Translators don't know what to do because they're going from made to make to back into promise to not done to being done. But Paul said he was done. He said, I've made. But the translators back in here in 17, they didn't know what to do. Is it make or made? King James just kind of threw both of them in. Verse 4. Behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations, I made thee. So he says, I've made thee. And then he goes, I will multiply you. You see how they're going back and forth? What I'm saying, I made you. The other one says, I'm going to make you. I will do this. Or I've done it. Did he do it? Or is he going to do it? Because if he's going to do it, when did he do it? And if he's done it, why did he do it? How did he do it? Because that is how he's going to get your job done. If you don't get to the made place, you're going to struggle. If we don't get to the made place, you're going to struggle. So when the Lord said, you're not going to find it, go to the literal. This is where they literally transferred it verbatim, literally. Say literal. Aren't you glad for the literal? You ready to read the literal? So this is the literal standard version. If you were back in the day of King James trying to interpret this and having them interpret literally, it is the weirdest thing ever. If they didn't understand what was going on. If you don't understand the glory, you don't understand what's going on. If you understand the glory, you know what's going on. So look at verse 5, literals. It started with verse 4. So as soon as God started speaking, they weren't in the same place anymore. They started walking out through history. When I say our history, their future, they were walking out. They were walking out, and when God spoke, he wasn't speaking to Abraham where he was in that day. He was speaking to Abraham where he's going to, but God was already standing in. By the time he walked him into his future, he said, Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. He wasn't saying, I'm going to make you, because if I'm going to make you, it still constitutes the kind of faith that we're still trying to get God to do something he's already done. But if I've made you, it means it's already finished. All I got to get to is where it is finished. I got to get up in God's timeline. I was praying this morning in the love of the Father. I was praying up in the right hand, and I'm like, you know, there was a time I came here, I was an orphan, but I'm not an orphan anymore. And you know what God said? He goes, yeah, and you could have stood as a son during that time if you had understood what you were doing. And I could have moved you a lot faster. But now you can go stand as a joint heir before your time. Verse 5. Your name. Now remember, God is not talking to Abraham where he is. He's talking to Abraham where God is, not where Abraham is. They've started walking, traversing. Your name is no longer called Abram. But your name has been Abraham. For a father of multitude of nations, I've made thee. And the Young's literal says the same thing. Thy name is no more called Abram, but thy name has been Abraham. For a father of a multitude of nations, I've made thee. So you have the literal standard version and the Young's literal, and both literal says, thy name is no more Abram. Thy name has been Abraham all this time. And the father of many nations, I've made thee. Now, you know, Abraham's, his head wasn't spinning because he was in the frequency of God. Now, the translators' heads are spinning because they're not in the frequency of God. They're trying to interpret a glory encounter from where Abraham was. How can you say that? Your name has been Abraham all along. That's easy for us to know now because we're standing where? In the future. It's easy for us to call him Abraham. His name has been Abraham this whole time. I've known him as Abraham. How many of you have known him as Abraham? We don't struggle with that. Would you have struggled the day right there where he was, where he had not had a name change yet? So what did he do? First thing he says, thy name has been Abraham. I've changed your identity. When did he do that? Come and walk with me, Abraham. I'm going to come before your face. I am the great God Jehovah. You're going to walk with me. You're going to walk before my face, Abraham. We're going to go and traverse some land today. We're going to go out into the future today. And when we walk, I'm going to speak to you when you arrive to that place. And how far did they go? Pretty far. The name is no longer Abraham, but you've been Abraham the whole time. Look. And a father of many nations, I've made thee. Look. Way up for the benefit of the teaching, I'm walking up into the future. I'm done. I've disappeared. You see that? He's speaking to him from where God is. This is the kind of faith he's looking for. We're trying to get God to where we are. Come, O kingdom, come. God said, you got it all wrong. Stop trying to get me to where you are and let me get you to where I am. And if I get you where I am, you can come back and speak where you are. And I promise you it'll follow you. Notice what else he said. Verse 6. I have made you exceedingly fruitful. The translators say, I will make thee. You're going to get it very wrong if you walk around, I will make thee. You've got to get into the place I've made thee. You're not going to find that right here. In your timeline, because true, the God kind of faith doesn't operate in man's timeline. It goes outside into the I have made the exceedingly fruitful. I have made you become nations. I have made nations of you. Notice that. I say, God, let me encounter you like this. Oh, God. And kings, I have made kings. Both of them said the same thing. Go out from you. See how, where he's speaking from? Where do you think he's at? He's way up. Now what else did he say? He incorporates his seed. which we know to be Christ. And he said, verse 7, see, the translator saying, I will establish, means he can't cut the covenant that day if he's still going to do something. He goes, I have. Because Abram had to believe God has done this. If you still believe in God's going to do it, you're not believing. He believed God. So he had to believe God has done this. So God poked him up and took him on a journey with his own self. And then as he spoke, every time the Father spoke from that position, it was finished. Done. That's important. Now look at verse 7. I, not will, have established my covenant between me and you and thy seed after you. If he has, then he had to go past Christ. He had to walk past Christ because the seed after thee, he said the promises were to the seed, Christ. I have made you a father of many nations. I made the covenant and I made it with your seed after you, which was Christ, right? So he walked past Christ. Jesus flipped a lid on the Pharisees when they were already wanting to kill him. And he said, hey, Abraham, your father, listen, he rejoiced, watch this, to see my day. And he saw it. He saw my day. How can he see? Because they were thinking according to men. When do you think he saw the day? He saw it that day. God walked him right past the cross. He said, I just cut the covenant. With the seed right there, that covenant right there is for everybody. You now, he now is father of many nations. All nations can come now. He can come to the mercy seat. Because I have finished and made this covenant. I have established, say have. Because Abraham, it was necessary for him to believe God. God approaches him and say, Abraham, you have no idea who you are, buddy. You are so far removed from my plan right now, but I'm going to get you caught up today. I'm coming down to meet with you to get you up in my frequency of how we do things in this realm called God. I'm going to encounter you today face to face. And you and I are going to traverse future. It's only your future to me. It already is. And every time I speak, when I speak something, it's finished. It cannot be disannulled. Because I am with you and I'm speaking with you and you're my agency of authority. And when you and I walk up the line, I'm going to finish the whole thing today. When we're done, it's finished. He spoke of Sarah that day. Out of her, didn't say will come kings. Kings have come out from her because he had to get him past the kings, right? And then he said, look, kings have come out of you. Father, many nations have come out of you. Look, the seeds come out of you. There he is. Oh, you mean God wasn't just reciting 15 verses to him? God was saying, there's the seed. Abraham, hold the line. Rejoice to see my day, and he saw it. God walked him right up into Christ. The Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham. Walked him right up, and Abraham says, there's your seed. And this is why I've got to cut this covenant and make you a father of many nations, because it can't just belong to Jesus. It's got to belong to all nations. You're a father of many nations. I have made it. Every time he said, I've made, they were standing in the position of done. Wait to the wisdom of the Lord. Do you know you're not a sower generation? You're not even a planting generation. You're not even a birthing generation. If you get stuck in sowing, planting, and birthing, you're in the wrong place. You got to get into the fulfilled reaper generation. How do I do that? God, come and visit me, encounter me. He goes, I'll do you something better than that. I'll open the veil and let you come to me at will. And Jesus said, oh, you don't even know my Father. He's going to love you. He's going to get the orphan out of you. And then he's going to show you his glory. And I will you be with me where I am in him, that you may behold his glory the way I see it. Because every miracle I did, I walked up into that miracle before it ever happened in the earth. Every time it wasn't I that did it, my Father did it. I experienced it with my Father and then came back and did it. Could make our job a lot easier. Amen. We're on the wrong side of the equation right now. But God's going to get us on the right side of the equation. Because he's going to get us up in the right hand where we need to be. Amen. So I want us to look at this for a minute. I want to look back at Genesis 17:1. Just take this verse apart. Today is understanding of the principle. How does this relate to me and you? Well, it has a huge ramification. So Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared. Knowing the Lord, this was a father. This was Jehovah. Jehovah come down. That's huge, by the way. Because he's talking to me about financial transactions. Do you understand that this is how the crown's going to work? When God comes down here, my Father and I, he translates you in himself. He gets you to the place called done, and then you can come back and command your circumstance to follow you. You have to get to done if it's the God kind of faith. You can't get there on your own. I don't care how great of a faith person you are. You can have faith. God will honor faith. But the God kind of faith, the one Abraham operated in, the one he's pointing us to, had the Father involved with it. The Father performed Abraham's covenant. He did it. That was what the Lord was introducing us to, by the way, in John 14, 15, 16, 17. He was introducing to us something awesome. Amen. Look at Romans 4. Because as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him, standing before him, whom, what? He believed. Not going to believe, believed. He could not have done this without the Father. And God said, you're not going to get done in your generation without me. Because this is what I'm about to give right here. You're talking about fast forwarding. You get the bypass sowing. You get the bypassed. I'll show it to you. He said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk. Halak. That word means to walk abroad. It means to walk abroad, to and fro, up and down. To traverse, to travel across. Do you know what Zechariah 10 says about the prophetic generation that rides the white horse? They will walk up and down in his name. We have to walk up and down. What did he say about the seven eyes of the Lord when they get released in the earth? They go to and fro. Guess what our generation gets to do? To and fro, up and down. You have to go up and down to go to and fro. When you go up and down, you get to go to and fro. When God takes the limits off, you get to go stand in your promise and receive. Because you're going in front of the face of him that is, was, that is, and is to come. He goes, walk before the face of him. Panim. And become. To be done. To come to pass. To be finished. We're going to finish it. And be thou complete, perfect. God alone is the one who perfects our faith. Now, Matthew 10, verse 20. Cody said this to me the other day. He sent it to me. Matthew 10, 20 said, it's not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What day are we going to rejoice to see? Day of the crown? On the earth? We get to walk out with the Father, both in heaven and here. And when we walk out with the Father, guess what? We get to stand in the place of done. And we speak the words of the Father. And when you speak those words, the mountains move. Do you see it? So what he does, watch this. He comes out, of course, Abraham, he comes out. There's coming out of the glory of this vision, and Abraham, then God throws him a loop. He says, oh, by the way, all this is coming through Sarah. And he just flips a lid. And he starts laughing. And he spoke those words, oh, that Ishmael lived forever. And man, you've got, he goes, it's going to be a wild child now. But he had already given him the authority. He had already been there with his seed. And as soon as he spoke that, his seed had already moved to authority. So as soon as he said it, God was bound to his words. Because he was still in the presence of the Most High when he said it. And what you speak in the presence of the Most High in that realm that is to come, you better watch what you speak. Because God said, I got to do this. But he's going to be a wild child. And they're going wild child to the end. But even God's going to come and get them. They're going to be a mass harvest of the last days because he's a father of many nations. Now, when he comes out, I want you to notice what he says. Because circumcision was not the covenant. A lot of people say the covenant was circumcision. No, circumcision was the sign. The covenant had already been finished. God said we did it. And the Bible says Abraham believed. He finished. He got it. So he believed that day, right? But his earthly belief system hadn't caught up with his heavenly. You see the difference? That's huge. Because as soon as God got him where he needed to be and God spoke, it didn't matter what he did back here. God had commanded everything to follow what he said. When you speak from that realm, it doesn't matter what happens down here. It's going to follow you into victory. It's going to follow you into breakthrough. It's going to follow you into manifestation. That's the nature of it. All we got to do is get in there. I need to show you this. It's Genesis 17. That's why the Lord said, I'm the author and the finisher. You won't finish this without me. I like verse 22. Because God said, when he finished, he went up. But he went up and left off speaking when he went back up to heaven. Well, a lot happened that day. A lot's going to happen with you and I. Verse 9, God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. He did that to bind that nation to himself until the seed would come in and he would do away with circumcision. He had to bind that nation to get Christ in. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep. And that sounds like that's the covenant. Circumcision wasn't. That was what Paul was saying. He got all this before circumcision came in. And he said, between me and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be what? A token, sign of the covenant between what happened with me and you today, and your seed. Because Christ got up in there. That's why, by the way, I want you to see this mystery. I'll throw it at you. You can just meditate it. And then I want to say something. In Galatians 3, it says, now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not the seeds of many, but one, which is Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, that word in Christ, every scholar, every one of them says that means unto. Unto Christ. The law that came 430 years later did not disannul it. What he's saying is, the covenant that day with Abraham was confirmed by the Father. How did he confirm it? He walked Abraham down the timelines and spoke. He went past the seed and spoke. And Abraham stopped and saw the seed. And he rejoiced to see my day. And he says, thy seed now, all the nations of the earth, your father of many nations. You see that? God was confirming. And he confirmed it all the way to Christ. Unto Christ. He had to confirm it. He finished the covenant in Genesis 17. It was done. That's why when the Lord came into the earth, he came in as a finished work. He didn't come in as something that was going to happen. I am here. Now, this is going to get you ready for John. He goes, listen, I'm not calling you to sow. He goes, are there not 4 months in a harvest? And then he goes, you say there's 4 months and then come the harvest. But I say, look to the harvest now. Because I'm sending you to reap where you bestowed no labor. My Father and I and all that went before you have already done this. We're operating from a finished position now. We're not operating in going to happen. It's already done. You're not going to come in here and do something. You're going to get in on the done part of it. I'm going to put you in the harvest field to reap where you bestow no labor. We've already done this. I'm the seed that's going to fall in the ground. I'm the one that was promised. It was already finished. We already have Abraham as our father. I'm already here. And God's about to multiply me in all the nations because he could swear by no greater. He already swore he's going to do this. So it's done. You're just going to reap in the done realm. Everyone say, I'm done. God, if I had got this 20 years ago, I could have gotten a lot faster. Because see, we all come out of this realm of glory. No telling what we'll do. You know, we come out and we start laughing at God and start, you'll get hit with something and you'll like, you know, and it's like, you go back to where you are, but remember something. When you come out of the glory and you spoke it, you're on your way. You have been commanded now to that place. You and all yourself has been commanded to die, get out of the way, because God's already commanded you into where you spoke from. Isn't that awesome? Let me say this. How does this pertain to you and I? Because that's where all this came from, by the way. I mean, showing me all this was amazing. I'm like, that's great for Abraham, but where do I fit? I said, well, when are you going to come do that? He said, I already have. I did it better. I've opened the veil for you. Instead of you waiting on when God's going to do this for you, I've given you free access to that same Father and all of that glory. In fact, your whole generation's going to operate in this realm. I'm going to open the whole thing for your generation. I'm going to bring this whole generation into the glory of my Father. And he's going to fix you. But then he's going to expose you to himself. And you're going to take that little promise. And here's how you do it. A little preview of things to come. When God gives you a promise, don't sit up in here, try to get God's kingdom, bring everything to me in this promise because I'm all that. That is not what this is about. The promise wasn't to get you to try to pull heaven down to it. The promise was giving you a first class ticket for a ride in the Father. You were supposed to bring the promise to the Father and say, Father, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter. Because as soon as you enter into the realm that is to come and speak from it, God will make you whole. He's going to see to it that you get all fixed up. Quit trying to fix yourself up. Just get up in there. That's why you got a free access to the Father. Take your promise and hold it to the Father and say, Father, here's the promise. I was doing this when I was holding this word before him and I didn't know what was happening. And all those teachings, the perambulation came out. Remember? It was already happening to me. I didn't know it. Because I kept holding this promise up and I started moving out into a future with him and I walking out there and I didn't really know what was happening and started marking it by perambulation. But now I know. As I hold this before him, Father, show me the glory of this promise. Show me the finish line. Take me into your own self. And according to the words of the Lord, let me behold the glory of this promise that's to come. Because when I arrive that day in the natural, that's going to be a glorious thing, but it's already done with you. It's finished. It's already done. Just like with Abraham, I have made thee a father. You're already a father. I need to be in the already place. I need to be the king you said I was. I need to be the already king. I need to be crowned. I don't want to be crowned. I need to be crowned. I don't need to be Father crown me. I need to move from crown me to, I need definitely, I'm getting out of my vocabulary, I'm birthing. Because birthing means I'm stuck in the canal. I'm not only stuck no more. As long as I keep stuck, that means I'm positioning myself. And God said, you're in the wrong place. I said, Father, all you women understand. Because you understand what it means. Father, get me to the finish place. Show me the glory. Show me the glory. I give my spirit. I don't know how to come in or go out before this kind of wisdom. See, the Lord told me something. The Father said, this wisdom will be different than Solomon's wisdom. It'll be greater. And the reason because it's greater is you're going to get to walk up and down and to and fro in me. And this generation is a generation of promise. And I'm going to let you bring my promise. I don't care if it's for your body. I don't care if it's for your ministry. I don't care what it is. I hold this. It's who I am. But I need to get there in you, Father. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. And then don't get stuck showing me your glory. Show me your glory. And then nothing happens and you go away. Because I did that for a year and a half until Cody said, I think we're supposed to walk out to the promised land. Because I've been waiting on him to show up in the Jordan. I'm like, for a year and a half, I stood there. I got stuck. I'm not stuck no more. Then I shift. I'm only going to do that so long. Show me your glory. And then I'm going to say, Father, I see that you have given. And I'm going to turn around to the right and I'm going to start walking in what he said. And I'm going to start saying what he said. And as I step out into him in faith, he'll start flooding me like he did this morning with his house. This house was on fire in the spirit. It ain't stuck in the wilderness no more. It's on the promised land. And I'm going to walk out and see that I've given. I'm going to say, and I am believing the whole time I'm walking out into his glory. More and more and more. And the more you do that, the more you get open. And the more you speak from that realm that's finished, I have made thee a king. I have crowned the house. I have given you the media. I have given the lands. I have given the harvest. You see all that? And then in this realm, the more you do it, come back. And everything, nothing has changed down here. But it did. You command everything. You're going to follow me into the Father now. You're going to follow me into the realm of the creative. You see it? I'm telling you. It is the it all and be all. You can get in the frequency of the Father. If you can get your faith, instead of doing all the things, just get your faith in the frequency of the Father that is to come. And all it takes is one time. You're in there doing that each day. And then one time, suddenly the Father, when he does that, he validates your faith. And as soon as he validates you in the realm that is to come, you can speak. He doesn't even have to speak. You can have the spirit of your Father in your mouth. And when you do, you can say to every single mountain between you and where you are, fall, collapse, be removed. Follow me where I am in the I am. And it will obey you. It will, it will, it will. He said, have faith in God, the Father. Believe that you receive, not where you are, but where he is. And you will have it. We are going to not birth. We are birthing and birthed a generation of heirs that can move heaven and earth. Because it's the realm of joint heirship. This is the day. Let me thank you, Father. I give you all the glory for making us wise. Let's all stand.